care for granite and marble countertops up next on the Handy Guys Podcast.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, a podcast for handy guys from handy guys. Here are the handy guys themselves, Brian and Paul.
So, Brian, I'm fortunate to have some granite kitchen countertops.
They are very nice.
And I will say two things about them. One,
yeah,
they are not as expensive as you might think to get installed.
Okay.
The problem is, like any kitchen counter, you got to get, when you start from new, you know, there's some price. Even if it's the cheapest solid, you know, cheapest laminate material, you have to build the structure for them, and there's some cost to that.
Okay.
And the installation and everything. But with solid surface, it's not as expensive as you'd think, but on the downside, it's not as maintenance-free as you might think.
Okay, and that's what we're going to talk about. So I'm going to learn a few things in this podcast since I don't have, granite or marble or anything like that for my countertops. So why don't you educate me, Paul?
Okay, we're going to talk about how to take care of those countertops after we provide our contact information.
All right. Well, you can always just email us at handyguyspodcast.com or go to our website, handyguyspodcast.com, and click on the contact tab at the top of the page and fill out that form, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can.
Got a project on your honey-do list? Let the handy guys know about it, and they may talk about it on their next podcast.
So, Brian, I wanted to talk about a recent project I've been working on. Well, actually, I did. It's a simple project.
Which project's that, Paul?
Well, if you're a handy guy and you have countertops that are made of stone,
yeah,
granite.
I'm not part of the upper middle class, so I don't have any of that.
All right. Well, or you have maybe a backsplash that's made out of a stone tile.
Yeah, no, I don't have that either.
Oh, okay. Well, you got to get with the program here, Brian. But if you have any of that, and I know a lot of people do, you need to consider the maintenance of that product.
That's right. There's certain stone products that are porous, actually, and can absorb stains very easily,
yep.
and they need to be maintained.
Unfortunately, granite countertops or stone backsplashes are not maintenance-free. You can damage them, stain them. There's certain materials you do not want to apply to these stone surfaces.
Okay.
And, some people are led to believe that, you know, you get these solid surface materials, stone, and you can just do anything you want with them. But you have to be careful. I've known people to have chipped their granite countertops, to break them. You really need
doing,
to be careful.
Like dancing on the countertop?
No, actually, you know, the piece, where the sink is cut out, if
right.
someone is leaning up on that front ledge, that's a weak pot part, that thin piece that goes in front of your sink. And so you have a child or someone who's climbing up to get something maybe on a shelf or something like that, you can actually break that. And a good installer will reinforce around the sink with a metal iron, you know, all around the sink. They'll put reinforcements, rods into the granite to prevent that. But if they haven't, you can definitely...
Well, when you got yours done, did you have that in reinforcement or did you talk to them about that?
I didn't think of talking to them about it at the time, and I looked underneath and I don't see it unless it's hidden by the sink. By the edges, like if it's recessed.
I didn't know they can reinforce
that. Yeah,
that's,
absolutely.
That's interesting.
You want to ask your installer to make sure they reinforce around the sink. You definitely want, because it's a weakness. I can even see it because a lot of times it doesn't even sit flat on the sink because that piece that goes across your cabinets is not really a support piece. So
right.
that's a span there. That's a thin piece
sure.
of span between two cabinets. So anyway, but the other thing you have to do is you have to reseal most surfaces in the kitchen, particularly granite, which is what I want to talk about today.
Okay, granite, and I would imagine there's other stones that are not as hard as granite, marble.
Yep.
And, some limestones and soapstones that are very soft that are probably even more porous.
Right, so you're looking at limestone, slate, marble, all these surfaces are going to need to be resealed.
So why would I buy a granite countertop if I'm looking for a low-maintenance solution?
Well, that's a good question, and my answer always is if you want a low-maintenance solution, buy a low-price solution.
come on.
Just a laminate material, because what's the most popular laminate? It's what?
Brand or?
Yeah. What's the most popular brand? We all call it what?
Formica.
Thank you. Formica. I'm drawing a blank. But, you know, Formica is just a brand, but there are several other companies that make laminate.
Yeah. Is Formica even still in business?
Yeah, I think so. But say a Formica countertop or laminate, that material is awesome if you think about it. For the cost, it holds up well. It's
susceptible to heat damage.
Yeah.
It's susceptible to cutting.
Water underneath, if it gets underneath it.
And if it holds up really well. I'll give you that.
It covers up, you know, problems and it lasts a long time. But, you know, I always say if you want low maintenance, get that, because if you do ultimately damage it, it doesn't cost you a fortune to replace. It holds up well. The other materials, you get them because they look nice. But but they're not maintenance free, because let's face it, do you want to take chances of putting that blazing hot pan on top of your granite and hope that it doesn't leave a mark?
Well, I would never put a hot blazing hot pan down on any countertop directly.
Well, that's what they used to say. Oh, you can just put your pans on it and all this. Well, the fact is my wife does put some hot pans on it and it's held up, but I wouldn't recommend it in general. The heat, you just don't know. Every stone is a little bit different. Yeah. And I don't want to take a chance on having a stain or a mark. So they're not maintenance free and they do require sealing. Now, the reason you seal it is to help prevent those sorts of stains.
Like any liquids from soaking into
exactly.
the stone.
Exactly. Liquids or oils from soaking into the stone.
Right, so you also like cooking oil or something like that.
You work with water and oil material. So these sealers are generally will help with that, prevent that. So you want them. They protect the stone. And there are, generally speaking, two kinds of sealers. There's a topical and a penetrating sealer.
So a topical is like your... you know, it's almost like polyurethane or something.
Kind of.
You know, it's almost like a film-forming finish.
Right. Yeah, it's usually a wax material or something. But yeah, it's a film-forming finish. I've even heard of some permanent finishes that they use on some stones where you're really not supposed to remove it or reseal it. It's just supposed to be permanent, right?
Okay.
But generally speaking, most people, when they get their, if you have granite or some of these other materials, you're going to use a penetrating sealer. The easy way to find out is to ask your installers what they recommend and what they've used. Have they used a penetrating sealer or some sort of topical sealer? And you're going to, if you need to reseal, you're going to use the same. And you can also ask them about how long between seal coats.
You know, that's good advice, because I would imagine, I do know that different stones are different, even different colors of granite. You know, when you go to your granite supplier, you're going to have the XYZ stone from India and the ABC stone from Brazil and all of that. And they're all going to be different as far as the porosity,
exactly.
and the different care characteristics.
So your installer should be familiar with the specific stone that you have, and they'll give you some good advice. So let's assume, though, that which is the most common, is that you're going to need to reseal every year, every 2 years, something like that, maybe every three. At that point, you need to consider what kind of sealer you're going to get. If you get your penetrating sealer, there's multiple types. You can go to your local True Value store. They're probably going to have some brands, a couple different brands for you to choose from. And we have right here in front of us one particular brand. It's a DuPont, the Complete Care System. And they actually sent us this, and I tried it out. And it's a three-part system, which we're going to talk about. It's a sealer and more. We also have here a penetrating sealer that I purchased for my backsplash. It's just from Tile Guard is the company, and it does the same thing. It's just a sealer.
Right. So both of these are penetrating sealers.
Yes.
Just different brands that they had over at True Value. And it. So you're going to essentially just wipe this on till it soaks in, maybe do another application until it doesn't soak in anymore. Is that
right.
Basically how these things work?
Yeah, so you wipe it on, and after a few minutes, you read the instructions, you wipe off any excess. You want to remove any excess. But there is a way you can determine whether you even need to reseal or whether you've applied enough sealer. And that's what I call the water test. And you can Google around different kinds of tests to determine if your countertops are sealed. Everyone has a slightly different variation. But essentially, what it is that you put some water on your counter. You wait 30 minutes, something like that.
Like a couple of drops or
enough to cover, say, like a $0.50 worth or a quarter on your counter.
A tablespoon or two.
Yeah, something like that. You could even use, I even heard one example of a test is just put a wet paper towel on the counter. Some way to apply water to the counter. But if it's going to leave a mark, you don't want it to make too big of a mark. So I would just say a few drops, maybe the size of a quarter or something like that. Then at the end of 30 minutes, you can even put a glass over the top of the water to keep it from evaporating if you want.
Okay.
At the end of 30, 40 minutes, you wipe it off and see if it's left a mark. If it has, it's because it's soaked into the stone.
Okay.
Ideally, you want it to essentially bead up, like on a car. You know, you recently waxed. You have the beads of water.
I waxed my truck.
You want it to be a bead, yeah, and you want it to stay that way. But so that's your test to see if your sealer is working. Now, the problem is, of course, is what if your sealer has stopped working in certain areas of the counter? You know, where maybe that you where you work more and not others. Are you really going to go around and test every square inch? That's why I think it's the best idea is to talk to your installer, see what they recommend. If it's every 2 years, you just reseal it every 2 years.
Sure.
And do the test if you'd like, just to make sure. The water test, you know, like I said, it only works.
Right, but you're not going to reseal until that spot has dried and
exactly.
And the mark has gone away.
Before you seal, you want to make sure that the surface is clean. You want to, obviously make sure it's nice and clean. And we're going to talk about how you clean these countertops right after this.
Don't know where to get reliable answers for your do-it-yourself projects? Why not search the Handy Guys Archive at handyguyspodcast.com.
So, Brian, I said, you know, when you reseal, obviously you want it to be clean. A lot of these companies say make sure you don't have any sealer, remnants of sealer. I think what they're talking about, if you had a surface sealer,
right,
there's no point in trying to put it on a penetrating sealer. It's not going to work.
Right, because you've got a film on there that is going to interfere with that.
So you need to make sure just that it's clean. But anytime you clean granite, you need to consider using the right soap.
Do we need to get your wife down on this podcast
no.
to talk about cleaning the granite?
No. Actually, normally when you clean granite, or let's say Formica, for instance. Formica, you can use almost anything. You can grab the Fantastic.
That's what I do. You squirt
Windex,
some of that stuff on there, whatever's around. Yeah.
And some of those products
soapy,
are
water,
nice.
Wet, just water, whatever.
Yeah, you can just use water. Some of those are nice. Those products are nice if you have something that's gummy or something like that. It helps break it down and gets it removed.
Sure.
But the problem is you do not want to use any products like that on granite.
Really? I can't take the Fantastic or the 409 or
absolutely not.
Whatever on the granite?
It can actually damage the stone.
Really?
It can stain the stone and also damage the sealer that's protecting the stone.
So you want a specialty specific for granite and marble or whatever cleaner?
If you don't have anything specific for this, you can simply use some soapy water, which is some dishwater detergent, mild soap and water, and use that to clean your countertops.
A little Palmolive or Dawn or
something like that mixed in a little bit. If you want to wipe your counters, there you go. If you want to look at a product over the counter that is specific for that, you can look. We mentioned earlier this DuPont three-part system. They have as part of the three-part system, the first part is their sealer, which is a spray-on sealer. You spray it on and wipe it off.
Mm-hmm.
Then they also have a spray bottle that's the cleaner and a protector. So when you go, if you use this product to clean your counters, it also adds some more protector to them, and
right.
it works
it's
with the sealer.
It's almost like a little additional sealer, maybe.
Exactly.
Now, would you use the cleaner and protector to clean your granite before applying the sealer?
No, you don't need to. I think you would just use soap and water for that.
Okay, use soap and water for that
first
cleaning
step. Get a clean start,
step.
Use your sealer.
Okay.
Then you can use this cleaner protector. And DuPont makes this product. I think there's some others out there you'll find as well. So this isn't the only one. Now, DuPont also has a third part of this product. It's called a polish. This to be used, say, once a week or something like that.
To really make it sparkle?
I guess. I've used it. I don't necessarily see a lot of sparkle, but you can try it. That's something, you know, it probably, my guess is you're going to have different success on different granites because of the color variation.
Sure.
So certain lighter granites or darker granites, you're going to have different levels of success with products like this, because no piece of granite is alike.
Right. Even from the same quarry, I imagine.
Exactly. So while I don't see a lot of difference when I polish it, I've tried it. I'm still, I think I just need to get it dirtier. We have more use on ours really to see if that works. But I did notice today from certain angles it does look shinier. So I'll have to keep trying that. But the cleaner is nice. You can use it if you like to spray on a cleaner and know that you're not damaging your sealer or the granite itself. Now, Brian, I mentioned that you can actually stain your countertop. And unfortunately, with
stain it like in a negative way. We're not talking about adding color to it, right?
Right. So that would not be good. And but there are ways to correct or fix.
So we're going
to
go into cleaning granite here, like different kinds of stains. Yeah. All right. Not just the 409 like I use, right?
So I actually found some information out on homeimprovement.lovetoknow.com.
Okay.
And we'll put a link to their site on our page.
Don't let me forget to do that.
They had some interesting stuff here. They say if you have a stain or discover a stain on your granite countertop, you can try 1 cup of flour with 1 to 2 tablespoons of mild dishwashing soap, and you create a paste with that. With the flour and the dishwashing soap, and then you apply it to the stain. You cover it overnight with a plastic wrap, and in the morning you scrape the mixture from the stain with a wooden utensil and rinse. And sometimes that removes just general stains.
Like what kind of stains?
I don't know. Maybe it's an unknown stain.
That's something that's soaked into the stone now.
Yeah, but something that's changed the color, a discoloration or something like that. That's just a general. I'm going to move on and give you more specifics.
Okay, and I'll ask you about some specific things that I've seen stain my laminate before.
All right.
And maybe you can tell me how to clean it.
So here's some oil-based stains. You might have...
Like motor oil?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, well, hopefully you're not cooking with motor oil, but you could have olive oil or some other things that may have caused some sort of stain on your surface. So there you would, again, use the flour, the 1 to 2 tablespoons of in this case, mild hydrogen peroxide. And you create a paste by mixing that with water.
Where do you get hydrogen peroxide?
In a bottle at the local drugstore.
That's the stuff you'd use like on
peroxide,
a cut. Yeah, peroxide.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it just peroxide or is it hydrogen peroxide?
I guess it's probably the same thing, isn't it?
I'm not sure, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Peroxide.
It comes in those brown bottles.
Yeah. So there you would do a similar thing. You would apply it to the stain and leave it overnight. Now, I haven't tried any of these. So
you're not rubbing it around.
Talk to your installer first to make sure you're not going to ruin your entire counter.
Anything that you're going to put on any kind of expensive surface, try it in an inconspicuous area.
Even your sealer, you want to try in an inconspicuous area.
Maybe under an edge that's finished, maybe under the microwave that you know is never going to move. You know, do it behind there. Or if your installer left a scrap from the cutout of the sink or something like that, try it on something like that.
Now, you may also have some sort of a dark stain from something like coffee or tea. We call these organic stains, something from food.
Like coffee. What about wine? Is that
possibly
fall into that category?
Absolutely. There you might try the 12% hydrogen peroxide with 2 to 3 drops of ammonia. Wow, that sounds – you talk about try inconspicuous areas. You want to be careful with some of these solutions. You might get an ink stain, a pen leaks on your countertop.
Yeah, I'm thinking, Sharpie markers, magic markers, things that the kids use.
A lot of that ink, I've noticed just from myself, people will use acetone, which is a nail polish remover.
Right,
And that usually works for a lacquer thinner, something like that. You can also try alcohol, just rubbing alcohol. A lot of times those inks are alcohol-based. But on this site, they actually say use lacquer thinner, acetone, and apply it to the stain and see if it takes it out. Because it'll break down the ink. But again, inconspicuous area first, because you're probably, at the very least, going to take off the remove the sealer as well.
Right.
So you're going to, assuming you don't do more damage than you already have, hopefully you get rid of the ink and you're going to need to reseal.
Okay.
Wine, you mentioned wine. They give you a mixture here of, believe it or not, a molding plaster and bleached. Until you mix them together until they become paste.
Molding plaster?
I assume they mean like plaster Paris or something like that.
Yeah, molding plaster. Yeah, it's something you buy at the craft store.
Yeah.
I've seen it called molding plaster.
So those are just some ideas. We will put that link out there. I have not, ideally, you don't ever have to do any of this. You try to prevent
stains. Because you go out and you get this three-part kit, yeah, and you go and you seal it and you clean it and protector and polish.
You make sure it's sealed well. Now, here's some things to be careful. There's some gotchas. I'm going to tell you, though, right after this.
You are listening to the Handy Guys Podcast.
Here are my gotchas, Brian. And that is that you could be very safe with granite. Remember, it seems like it's this surface, this is great, you know, it's no maintenance, but there are some things, some ways you can damage it with just common materials that you would expect that you can use on that sink. Can you guess anything?
Or on that countertop?
Yeah, just common material that, or food that might damage.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking, you know, sometimes people have a tendency to cut on it.
Exactly. If you cut on it,
you're going to ruin your knives, yeah, I would imagine.
You're going to ruin your knives. You're probably not going to ruin the stone, other than if you had, some sort of a surface sealer, you could cut through the sealer. But what if you're making some lemonade?
Okay. So
there's your hint.
So lemon juice.
Yeah. Citrusy.
Okay. Citrus.
Anything that's citrusy it's actually a type of material that's like an acid.
Yeah.
And acids can eat through not only sealers, but they can eat through stone.
So lemon juice is going to damage potentially your granite.
It doesn't mean if you cut I was just doing this yesterday. I made some homemade lemonade for the kids.
Okay.
And was squeezing the lemons, and some of the juices was flying onto the counters.
Sure.
It wasn't like I was,
imagine it spritz it,
yeah,
right?
Hey, go run and get me a towel, quick. No, you don't, not like that, because I knew that I had a good sealer on it.
Right.
But it's something you wouldn't want to leave there in time because it could do some damage.
You're going to wipe it up, right?
After all, there are some cleaning products that advertise with real lemon juice because that citrus material, it's an acid that actually can eat into stone.
Okay.
So you have to be careful with materials like that. I already said don't use harsh cleansers on it, but you got to be careful with things that have that citric acid. There's probably some other food material that I'm not thinking of right now.
What about something like Kool-Aid or something like that?
Yeah,
you get the powdered Kool-Aid, Tang, things like that.
I would be careful with any of those sort of products. They got
you don't have those in your household. You eat a little more organically.
But, right. We actually use the Tang to clean the inside of the dishwasher. So that you got to wonder what it's doing to the inside of your system when you drink Tang.
Okay.
So yeah, any of those products, the key is, if you're cutting materials, you still want to use a cutting board. Just simply wipe up when you're done. If you have a good seal coat on it, the citric acid's not going to do damage just by a few spritz here and there. But you do want to wipe up after you work with any of those sorts of materials.
Okay.
So it is not a carefree surface.
Well, what about things like, you know, there's people always have concerns with juices from raw meat, you know, like, chicken or beef or something like that.
Here's the problem with the juices. I don't know that there's an issue with it staining so much as it, you know, if it's raw, you could have...
Is it going to harbor bacteria?
You could have the bacteria, salmonella, I guess, with the eggs and other things. That the solid surfaces are pretty good, I think, and not, I think the...
There's a thing called microban and stuff that they put in some of the plastic cutting boards now.
Right.
Things like
that. Use cutting boards. You still got to wipe up the surfaces. I think ultimately stainless steel is the best for those sorts of things. That's why restaurants always use that, to getting them clean and free of those materials. But you still want it going to clean up very
That's
good.
That's a good point. You never see granite in a commercial kitchen.
Yeah, you got to use, actually Formica I think is pretty good with that kind of stuff too. But I don't know what the best, but I don't
stainless
think...
Stainless steel, I think you're in
it. It is. I don't know that stone would be your first choice. You still got to be careful with that. You got to clean up well. You can use this cleaner, you know, just like you would anything else. You know, they say, you know, the old 5-second rule, you drop something on the floor, they say that's bogus, because the problem is when you do something like you just mentioned and you get raw meat juice that sprays in the air, it ends up on the floor, and you don't usually wipe up the floor as well as you do the counter.
Hmm.
And so there you're in danger of getting some sort of food contamination when you pick up that whatever you dropped, the cracker or something. It was a 30-second rule for a while in my house, but
I thought it was like, you know, the peanut butter, you know, half a peanut butter sandwich.
Right.
If it landed bread side down, you were good.
Right.
If it landed peanut butter side down,
yeah,
you had to... get rid of it.
So there you have it, a basic overview of granite countertops. A lot of us have them. Take care of them. Prevent the problem in the first place. Try the DuPont three-step series. And Brian, why don't we give away this? We have a brand new here.
You know what? Yeah, they did send us. They did send us one for each of us, but I have no need for it since I don't have the granite. So, yeah, how about we'll draw a name out of a hat? Just go ahead and do we want them to email us?
Yeah, email. Why don't we have them email granite, GRANITE, at handyguyspodcast.com.
Good idea. We made up our own email just for this. And, email GRANITE at handyguyspodcast.com.
We will wait until we have a significant number of entries, minimum of 10, let's say, and maximum of 10,000.
However many, yeah,
and,
however many we get.
And we will draw the name from a hat. We will email you and get your address, and we'll send it off to you. You'll get the DuPont Complete Care System for granite and marble countertops. So just email granite at handyguyspodcast.com. Say, I want the DuPont Complete Care System or whatever. Just say, I want the DuPont sealer. And we'll get it to you. If we pick your name out of a hat, we'll use your email address and we'll draw.
And we won't send you anything else. We won't sign you up for anything. You know, this is just, we've got this system here. Yep. And
got to get your entry in, though, by the end of September 2010.
That's a good idea.
Right.
Yep.
Because otherwise, if you're listening to this podcast in 3 months, we're still going to be getting those emails. So if you hear this after September, how many days are there in September? 31? The end of September of 2010, don't bother. But we will have some other freebies for you, so keep listening to the Handy Guys podcast. All right, that's all we got tonight. We'll be back next week.
Yep, thanks. Bye.
The Handy Guys will be back next week. Same handy time, same handy website.